Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle Young
with For His Glory Ministry. Welcome.
Welcome.
We're teaching today on a show that's going to be entitled Equipping the Saints. This is the title of the radio show, and it's part of our new series, and it's called Equipping the Saints.
Yes.
And the purpose of equipping the saints, we're going to draw that from the scripture. We're going to go right to that. It's in the New Testament in your Bibles. So please always have, what things do we make sure everybody has? They need a Bible, something to write with there. Pay attention, and we'll go through this carefully. And just so you also know, you can make a note, our website is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
And we welcome you to come and visit us there, too.
Yes.
Thank you. So let's go right to Ephesians chapter 4. I recommend you always read the whole chapter for context minimally. We're going to start at verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 and 13.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ.
Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Oh, amen. Amen. Now,
we're going to learn today exactly what equipping the saints mean.
Real important to do that there, because different translations or understandings could be misleading. My background is as a Messianic Jew, so to quote another, David Yanov, we're a Jew by race and saved by grace. We'll also go into the New Testament in the Greek, because we found, though we have the English, which is marvelous and a good translation, it's just that, a translation. You get such additional beautiful depth when you go into the original languages, which is primarily Hebrew, and then the Greek for the majority of the New Testament there, although the Greek is, to quoting one scholar on that point, with that in regard, the New Testament is also Hebrew in a Greek dress, because the mindset is Hebrew, the culture is Hebrew, the customs are Hebrew, the traditions are Hebrew, the language is Hebrew. So why did they write the New Testament then primarily in Greek? That's what most of the world spoke. Just like today, the majority of the world speaks English, therefore we translate the Bible primarily into
English.
And if they're in France, we
translate it in French.
And Chinese to
Chinese.
Same thing, people. It's just the same way. And so the goal is to get you back to the originals while we're working with good translations. Let's go back and turn the lights on. Daniel read it. And let's look at the overall context here first. Who gave? It says, and he gave. God gave. All right, this is something God gave. Man doesn't take away. God gave it. God gave some. Not everybody's an apostle. God gave some, but some are. God gave some as prophets. Is everybody then a prophet?
Mm-mm,
no.
No.
But some are.
Yes.
Is everyone an evangelist?
No.
But
some are.
And is everybody a pastor and teacher?
No.
No, but some are.
Mm-hmm.
Now notice this. This is often called a fivefold ministry, but there are really four offices. Why? Because apostles, one, prophets, two, evangelists, three, pastors and teachers. In the original Greek, that's considered one office.
Yes, that's right.
Not two. Are there those people who are just teachers, though? Sure.
Yes.
In James, which is really in the Hebrews, Jacob, chapter 3, verse 1, it's Yaakov in Hebrew, Yaakobas in Greek. James in English, although it's really Jacob, chapter 3, verse 1, God says, Let not many desire to become teachers, for by so doing they'll incur a stricter judgment. So there is an office of a person who is a teacher. Here, in what's given in Ephesians 4:11 that Danielle read earlier, 11 and 12, in verse 11, we see the pastors must be teachers.
Yes.
But not every teacher is a pastor.
Right.
Okay, we all got that?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Let's go to verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, comma, to the building up of the body of Christ, or the Messiah, or Mashiach in Hebrew. Now, in some of your Bibles, it'll say, for the equipping of the saints, comma, for the work of service. Erase that comma. It's not there. It's a whole sentence, that first clause, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, comma, to the building up of the body of Christ. There's two aspects there. Now, let's go to the third, which we read in Ephesians 4:13. What is the goal point? One of those that are listed here in the Bible is Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain, not a few,
All.
Everyone, right,
yes,
Danny?
All.
Everybody, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Key, we'll go over that shortly. Two, and of the, some of your Bibles say the knowledge of the Son of God. In the Greek, it's actually full knowledge, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, one, two, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, three, to a mature man, also translates a full-grown man, also translates a perfect man. Yes, Danny?
And of the full knowledge of the Son of God.
Right. And of the full knowledge of the Son of God. Then we're talking about the third part, to a mature man, a full-grown man. Rotherham's, if emphasized Bible, will translate it, a perfect man. This is the third one. As far as goal points, God is directing the four officers' fivefold ministry to train the body of Christ to get to. What's the fourth one? To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of the Messiah, of Christ. Now, let's go over it again from the beginning and do another layer. We're learning in layers. It's a very good way of studying. It's a very good way of reading. It's a very good way of learning, layer by layer. Now, who gave? God gave.
God
Ephesians
gave.
4:11. If you're just joining us, the title for this radio show is called Equipping the Saints. Perfect.
Right.
Now, Ephesians 4:11, God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Stop. Let's go over that there. If you do not know what that word means, equipping, we are in horrible, horrible shape. Now, this is the problem. The word equipping does not mean, as an apostle, you're making people apostles necessarily, and as prophets, you're teaching them to prophesy, and as evangelists, you're teaching them to evangelize, and as pastors and teachers, you're teaching them to be who you are yet. What, Danny?
That's exactly what I've always believed and was taught in the church.
Really?
You just teach them how to be an apostle. You teach them how to be an evangelist. You teach them how to be a prophet.
And they teach them to prophesy and do
right,
that, and that's
right.
Called equipping the saints.
Right.
Well, let's go back to what the Bible says what to do, and I don't challenge, ideally, a brother or sister's intent, but we need to have knowledge because God says in Hosea 4:6a, my people perish for lack of
the knowledge.
The knowledge, not just knowledge. In your Bibles, if it says knowledge, fix it. In Hebrews, hada'at, H-A-D-A, apostrophe A-T. H-A-D-A, apostrophe A-T, hada'at, the knowledge, the specific body or corpus of knowledge that God gave us in your Bible and as your Bible.
I always thought there was another explanation for that, because if it's a gift to be a pastor, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist,
right.
You can't just be taught it. It's a gift given to
yes,
you.
Yes, you can't teach a gift.
Right.
Correct. Very good. Now, this list, go back to our notes and let's do what we've done. I've looked this word up very carefully. The word equipping, when we know what that is, the doors will open in your mind. Katartisman. 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 In Dallas Theological Seminary's commentary on page 635, volume 2, this word is also mentioned in Matthew 4:21 as katartizo, which means to mend. What were they doing? John and his brother, Jacob, in your Bibles he'll say, wrongly James, they're mending their nets, the sons of Zebedee. Wait a minute. That same word that's translated equipping really means over here, it means to mend, as in to fix, as in to repair, and prepare the nets. That's exactly what it means. Let's look at another reference, Galatians 6:1. The same word means to restore. Someone has fallen or slipped in their walk with God, and it says, you who are spiritual, or spiritual-minded, restore. The root is katartismo. So you're restoring them. And Lightfoot, who's a very wonderful old scholar of yesteryear, in his epistle to the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians, on page 215, he was a scholar, spoke seven languages, brilliant, wonderful, and well-referenced. I like his work well. He said, quote, it is used especially as a surgical term of setting a bone or joint. Well, wait a minute. So this word that's in Ephesians 4:12 for equipping of the saints is really what? Repairing, mending, amending, preparing. It's used also as a surgical term of setting a bone or joint. If you just joined us, we're teaching on equipping the saints in Ephesians 4, the New Testament, focusing on 11, 12, and 13. Thayers is a Greek Lexicon, a word study from the Greek. What does this word mean in another source? Page 336. It means to mend or repair. So the word equipping should not be there in a proper translation.
So does it mean something like healing them?
Yes. Yes. Let me give you one more reference.
Okay.
One of the best of the scholastic sources is called Little and Scott. It's a humongous Greek lexicon. Page 910. And then we'll answer your question more directly, Danielle, for everyone included.
Okay.
Furnishing, preparing. This is the word katartidismon. What does it mean to equip? It really means to furnish, prepare, training, discipline. Listen carefully. One who restores order. That's to give you some variations as to the meaning of the word. So Danielle's question, what does it mean then when we go back to 4:11? If you're just joining us, let's go back to 4:11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. No, for the repairing of the saints for the work of service. Let's do the first part of this clause first of the first half of the verse. For the equipping of the saints, let's put in our right definitions of katartismon. What is it? For the repairing of the saints, for the mending of the saints, for the setting the saints back in order, fixing them. Why? Church is a hospital, people.
Yes.
You come in hurt, broken, you got salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, you're cleansed, and now you come to faith, and often we still have a lot of baggage and things we have to do. We have to renew our mind. We have a lot to do in following and obeying the promises of God. So what are the fivefold of the four office ministries to do? These apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They are unusually gifted by God to look at a soul, see what your problem is, prophesy to that soul, speak life into that soul, repair, prepare, mend them. The evangelist helps motivate and bring that person to a place of healing and restoration.
Yes,
some people
yes.
are stuck in a pest, and they have to be healed and restored. The pastors have to do it and teach them things, feed them like you go to a doctor. You're sick, you're hurting, you're broken, you're bleeding. Well, we have the emergency care. And the first step of the ministries of the God that we serve that is given to what some call a church government is given these particular, let's call them what they are, offices, is to heal, repair, mend, furnish, to set in order the church. Because there's no way you could be sent out until you're first fixed up.
If the saints were not healed, they'd be ineffective.
Yes, because hurt people,
yes.
typically. And lost people, lose people.
Right.
And blind people.
Wow.
And embitter people. When they embitter people. And these people who are hard, they can harden other people. They're speaking out of their life, and they're not fit to go out there to that degree. It becomes a hindrance. Now, what's wrong is their gifts will grow. Proverbs tells us a man's gift or a woman's gift, of course, will make room for them and bring you before great men, men used in a generic sense, humanity. So you can grow in your gifts and be absolutely broken inside in a sense of all these areas that need repair, mending, and fixing. And who's going to fix it? You're going out. Your gifts will grow. But then we see at times our brothers and sisters get pulled down by pride, lust, avarice, stealing, theft, and all these wrong things that have never been fixed before they went out. So you're growing in the gifts, but the character is at fault and flawed. We've never been fixed. So we first must, what God said, for the equipping of the saints to prepare, to mend, to heal, to restore, to set in order, to make those joints straight, if you will. And the body is talked about as a metaphor. We have every joint and putting all the pieces back together. That's the first part. Now, does that sound a little different?
Yes, very much so.
If we don't have that right, we can't take step two without the first step. So for the equipping of the saints, for what? What for? For a purpose, for the work of
service.
Perfect. For the work of service, which is ministry,
right?
So the building up or the equipping of the saints, which is really what, Danny? It's repairing, right?
Fixing, healing.
Perfect. Mending,
yes.
Preparing, perfect. In order that they could do the work of service, ministry. Now, what is that word in Hebrew? That word in Hebrew, which is very interesting for the work of service, is in your Bible. You must get up to speed for both the Greek and the Hebrew, but notably, we have to get up to speed for the Greek. And it's lavodat Hasherut, Lavodat Hasherut, for the work of service, for the work of ministry. Now, we did a tape series, and you can go at our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
Press catalog and go look at all our books, our two books, Behold Yeshua, Come and See, and Why God, Come and See, our newest release, and also over 50 different tape series and all our radio shows we have are listed. You just press catalog, and it's all there for you through a fulfillment center called The Connection that we have there. Just wonderful people there. And this will help right at this point here. We did one called Winning the Warrior's War. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a tape series called Winning the Warrior's War, an audio cassette. And you can call for details. That will give you each Hebrew letter, because every letter in Hebrew has
a meaning.
And great. And how many meanings does it each have?
Seven.
Seven. And every word, literally at a high scholastic level, the sages will teach you it has
70 meanings.
Absolutely, Danielle. 70 meanings. That's stunning. How much are we missing now?
That's right.
And we need to know what we're supposed to know, because my people perish for lack of the knowledge.
The knowledge.
So we have to proceed now. Let's go to the next step. For the work, Lavodat Hasherut. Hasherut, the root of it comes from the word ministry, sharat. And the first part is shar, which is the same spelling as consonants for sar. Now, when I say sar, shalom, in English, in Isaiah 9:5, you know that in Hebrew it's 9:5, in English it's 9:6, Isaiah 9:6. It's Prince of Peace. Sar, shalom means
Prince of Peace.
Perfect. So Sar is the root, which means warrior prince. Why? Because a prince would first war over an area, and then he would rule over what he has warred over and won. So Sar, warrior prince, and the Tav at the end used to be shaped like a cross, like an X.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the warrior prince, and then you see cross. So putting those concepts together and looking at the word itself at a deeper level, because every word is, the word of God is living and active. And every word in the word of God is living and active. And all the letters are living and active. So look at the word, and this is even a post-grad level study, people. So it's new for some of you, but please come and grow with us. You want to be a Talmid, a disciple, which means a learner.
Learner.
Exactly, a student. You're learning with God. So come learn with us as we learn of
Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Doesn't God tell us in Matthew 11:28 to come learn of me?
Mm-hmm.
Not just learn, people, but learn of me.
Yes.
So we can have life and life more abundantly through Him. And because what we know will also help us love Him more dearly. Because the more we know of Him and that is Him, the more we can love and the more we can do. Because the common complaint is, I don't know what to do. But when you know what, you can do what you do know. You know? All right. Winning the Warrior's War, this word here, ministry, comes from the Hebrew root word sharat. And the root of that is same as sar, which is prince, and then a tav at the end, which means cross or covenant. So put those concepts together for ministry. What is real ministry? As opposed to my ministry, your ministry, their ministry. Real ministry ministers the warrior prince's work. It ministers the warrior prince's cross, the warrior prince's covenant of the cross. So what he has won and done through the cross, you take the full victory of what he said, it's finished and it's all done, and you minister that in freedom to people, because when he said it's finished, it is literally tetelestai in Greek, nishlam in Hebrew, John 19:30, it is paid in full. So, nishlam, it is finished. So you take the finished work of Christ and apply it to individual lives for freedom. So look at that first clause again. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. What does that mean? To repair, to mend, like Daniel said earlier,
to heal, to fix, to restore,
to set in order, to prepare the saints so they can then minister the freedom of the warrior prince Jesus Christ, our Lord God and Savior, done at the cross. And that is the first step of what these ministries of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teachers are supposed to do. You don't go out anywhere yet.
Right, right.
Comma. To the building up, as Danielle said earlier, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, in the Greek, the word building up comes from the same root word as house. Because we are a building for God. We are a temple for God. If you went to Israel today and said, take me to Beit, it's a short term, it means house. But if you really have the focus, it means the house of God, take me to the temple of God. Okay? To the building up of the body of Messiah. Because the purpose is when you're healed, we're then to be built up. How? Built up together, each one into the individual members of the body of Christ. Some like ears, nose, toes, mm-hmm. and every part fits together, jointly and wonderfully fit together.
So does that mean everybody should be a pastor?
No.
Or an evangelist?
Of course not. Because God didn't even say he just gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. You do reproduce after your kind. However, they produce more because God gave them to build up the body. So the prophet should look at you and know if you are to be a school teacher, if you are to be a nurse, if you are to be in a home. Yes.
So the body means doctors, lawyers,
yes.
moms, dads, yes. everything.
Every phase and facet of life itself. The body of Christ is to touch everybody, somebody's, everybody's, anywhere, anytime, because we are to take and touch the whole world itself.
CEOs and everything else.
Corporate America, heads of government there, every phase and facet of life there. There's nothing unimportant, nothing too important. They're all important to God because every part of his body is important, period, and is made to work together. That is the key.
We're all the body of Christ.
We are all,
we?
And
yes.
therefore we're all invaluable because it's his body.
Right.
Now, in the time remaining, let's go over a few more parts. There's so much here, but I hope you're getting a lot, people.
Mm-hmm.
4:13, you have four goal markers. You're building up the body. How? What is the point of, like if you lift weights, how much do you want to build up? What kind of competitor do you want to be, or an athlete or a swimmer? What is your goal? Is it just to get in shape in your backyard or in a court? Is it to compete on a world scene? Is it to be an Olympian? Is it to have fun with the kids? What's your point? God gives markers for what he wants his body built up. One, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. There's no 14 different doctrines to pick a number for a certain belief in the Bible. There's no pre, mid, post. It's one, and we've demonstrated in our teaching it's a pre-trib. We come to the unity of the faith. If we're all built up through Christ, for Christ, of Christ, to Christ, we should have the same unity and the unity of the faith. Number two, to the full knowledge of the Son of God. So if we're being built up and we have the full knowledge of the Son of God, then we should all be on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
There should be no, well, this and that and that. We are being built up to come to the one, unity of the faith, two, the knowledge of the Son of God, three, to mature men. So we're to be mature, full grown. Four, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, if I stand against the wall, let me measure you. I'm going to measure your stature. How tall are you? God says, to the fullness of Christ, that's your fourth marker of how we're going to grow and build this body up. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So these people are incredibly gifted, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to repair, mend, set the body in order, heal, restore, mend, amend, furnish, in order to bring each person to the proper place. One who restores order to the body, two, to the building up of the body of Christ. To what point? To the unity of the faith. To the full, as Daniel said earlier, to the full knowledge of the Son of God. Three, to the mature man. Four, to the measure, to the height, mm-hmm. right, of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. So the body fits where the head is. He's the metaphorical head. We're the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue, 14, Ephesians 4:14, if you're just joining us, as a result, which means because of that, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But we are to speak the truth in love. 15, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, Christ the Messiah. So I'm getting properly excited. This is what we're supposed to do. That's the purpose for the offices of the body.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to be children anymore when there's passing winds of doctrine, when we get caught up by different things that people say. We won't anymore because we're mature, grown. So we come to a particular point where we have come to that fullness, and therefore let's get the people first what? Healed, set free, restored, mended, build the body up of Christ, to the unity of the faith, to the full knowledge of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen?
Amen.